Hi, I'm Alex Fracon. You're listening to My Therapist and I, a podcast that isn't just about therapy, it is therapy. More specifically, my therapy.
Welcome back, everyone. We're back. It's been over 2 months since I've seen Dr. Steve, and I decided to check in, let him know what I've been up to. We spent a lot of the session talking about my new puppy, Ralph, and what it is teaching me about myself, which leads to another discussion about my anger. Hope you enjoy.
I've been listening to Smartless, the podcast with Jason Bateman and Sean Hayes and the other guy, Lego Batman.
Like Will Arnett?
Will Arnett, yeah.
How's that been going?
Some of them are good.
What do they talk about?
They have a guest on and they talk about whatever stuff.
But it's not like a particular focus.
Ours is way funnier.
Yeah. Debatable. Welcome. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's been a long time. Yeah.
It's probably been, 5 weeks? 6 weeks? Longer than that.
I think so. 2 months?
Yeah, because it was, a week before I got married.
Do you remember your anniversary?
Yeah.
What day?
September 16th.
It was at least a week before that, right?
Yeah. I think it was literally a week before, because I remember being stressed out about a bunch of stuff. And we're in what? Yeah, so 2 months.
2 months.
Wow.
And it had been probably 2 months prior to that.
Yeah.
Or 6 weeks or so.
I was a little, I was like, man, I haven't done this in a while. It's been a while.
You haven't done therapy? You haven't done podcast? You haven't
both.
Done Dr. Steve?
Well, I haven't done a podcast in a while, and then I haven't been doing as much therapy.
Generally?
Yeah.
And?
It was weird. I mean, I talked about it in the Ralphie episode.
I don't think I got to it. I got halfway through.
And then you just quit?
I had a student come to my door, and I thought, we're spending a lot of time. This should be called My Dog and I, not My Therapist.
Okay, wow. It's getting real critical.
And I felt like I can be replaced, but I'm okay with that. If you replace me with a pointer, it's short-haired pointer, or what is it? Springer Spaniel. Okay.
Yeah, little Ralphie boy. But in the podcast, I talked about this thought I've been ruminating around, which is like I had noticed I'd been so busy focusing on this thing that I hadn't really felt as neurotic and like self-aware as usual.
Yeah.
Like I hadn't been devoting as much time to just thinking about things that might be wrong in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sort of theory continues, or more so that like the not the busier, but like the more I think about other things, whether it's people like Haley, you know, getting in a relationship with Haley,
yep.
my wife, getting a puppy, thinking about the puppy, I find myself less bothered by like, things about myself.
Vicissitudes.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's a bit of it or if it's just a part of, I was thinking about this like 2 days ago. I'm getting a little old. Am I settling down? Like, I don't know. Does the brain sort of settle down after at certain, you know, anxieties sort of start to dissipate as you get older and life settles? I don't know. But I have not felt the need to go in as much.
To go inside.
To therapy.
Yeah.
I haven't felt that like in the past I'd feel a itch. Like I need to get, it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a time where if I skipped a week, it was a problem.
Yeah.
And now I've been, so with George, I tapered off to, we were about like once every 3 weeks maybe.
Yeah.
And then EMDR, I sort of just took a break, which that's a...
Yeah.
That turned into... we're doing some gestalt work. Are you familiar with that?
I mean, I know the word and I know the people associated with that school, but
okay.
I don't...
How...
Like empty chair?
Yeah. Basically what I would do...
Empty chair technique?
Yeah, where you talk to someone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then... my therapist would have me like act out their responses as well.
Yeah.
And that was really, I did.
That could be really powerful.
Yeah, and really stressful. Like, mm-hmm. I really did not enjoy that. Like, that was tough work for me. Mm-hmm. So I haven't really gone back there since, which, again, it's the first time in my life where, in terms of my relationship with therapy, where I've been like, I don't need that right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is so funny to compare when we first started, when I was like, man, therapy, you know, it can be great. It can be empowering and makes you feel good. And then I was doing these sessions. I was like, damn, this is really hard work and I'm really uncomfortable and I don't like feeling this way. And so I've stopped.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that means that I'm cured or I'm hiding from things, but it definitely, we did some great work. What were you going to say when you were up there? You were like, I listened to the episode and then you stopped. You're like, well, maybe I'll save it. Were you going to say any particular thing?
I think I said it already. I didn't get a chance to see the whole thing. And mm-hmm.
I mean,
I was struck with, I mean, so what our listener doesn't know is that we, you know, I came into your house and I met your dog and and your wife left, Haley left and take the dog on the walk. So, like so much of what you were talking about in that first part that I heard was your anxiety around, you know, did I mess things up with Haley because I made this decision and now we've got this dog. And so that's
true.
But that's probably been a couple of weeks or so now, right?
That was a very turbulent, which ironically enough, where we picked up Ralphie, his original name was Turbulence.
Really?
Which
that's
I'm
a sign, brother.
I know. That's I did not read the tea leaves there.
Yeah, we called our dog Barkley, and we should have. It was between Barkley or Sully. You could have had a Barker or a Sullen.
Yeah.
And we went with Barker, and he was a Barker. So you.
Yeah.
Label it.
So the first during that time, there was a lot of and Haley was up front. She's like, I have some feelings of contempt and resentment right now because I feel like you have sort of robbed me of my peace and quiet before we start building a family. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, I hear that. I mean, I think I talked about this in the episode way back then when we could have had the nice little sort of honeymoon phase where it's like, okay, it's just the two of us. We got married, we bought our house so we can settle in, have our normal routine, and then we'll start making a family.
Yeah.
And everything will get disrupted then. But I was like, hey, let's start disrupting it now so we're ready.
Get a jump on it.
Yeah, let's get a jump on the disruption. And she was upset at first because I think she was overwhelmed. But she'll tell you now, she's always loved the dog. She loved the dog from day one. And she loves him. I love him. He's great. He's a great companion. And she's very happy that we have him, I think.
Cool.
I just... she would hate to. I did spring it on her a little bit. No pun intended. Yep, you were already all over that.
I was
nodding already. Springer, hey. I think it was like.
See the dad jokes. You got married. The dad jokes are coming. Yeah, they're just like natural.
Yeah, I definitely feel that progressing within me. So she was very angry, upset, and that's because the puppy initially was very bitey. Mm. And loved to bite Haley. And so that was just overwhelming her. And then I left probably 5-6 days after buying the puppy. I had to go down to Florida. I drive my parents' car, you know?
Yeah,
I did that trip. And so I left her. She's like, hey, I got us a puppy. By the way, I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Good luck.
Yeah. So that caused a little bit of heightened frustration. But we've adapted I mean, it's going to sound maybe a little embarrassing, but the dog is teaching us, I think, a lot about ourselves. Me personally, that's something I've been kind of blown away by is like, I'm learning, like, I said this in the episode. I think I love dogs so much, like, you know, dogs, not like toy dogs, you know, like lap dogs. I mean, like, which maybe there is no distinction there, but I have a little judgment. I'm a little judgmental in terms of like types.
Yeah.
I've always wanted like a normal sized like dog that runs outside and goes in the mud and something like a field dog. And I think I've always liked that because they're just so full of just what I describe as dumb energy. Like they're really happy. they run into something like, oh, whoops, I ran into this wall. Okay, I'm going to go over here now. And like, oh, did I knock this over? That's my bad. Okay, I'm going to go sniff this. Mm. And I think I just resonate with that energy a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't help but think, it was like a great example. We had to put Ralph in timeout because he was being a menace. Mm-hmm. And we're like, hey, buddy, you know, we gave him our warning signs. Like, we're trying to teach him, like, hey, there are a few trigger words where if you hear these and you don't stop biting, the next is timeout.
Yeah.
And we associate timeout with, you know, the word with he's put in a room. And he was just not having it. He was barking. I was just sitting there, and all I could think about, Haley was like, this is miserable. I hate this. Can we let him out? And all I could think about was when I was in middle school, I was like 12 years old. And I had a date lined up, my first date. And I was really excited and I got grounded. And I couldn't go on the date. And I spent the whole night just screaming in my room. I got grounded. I was sent to my room. I was just miserable. And my parents' room was adjacent to my room. And my mom just never came in. She toughed it out. And when I was done and I was quiet, she came in. And I was just like, I'm getting weird. Parallel, I don't know. It was just a little trippy.
Yeah,
to think about that, and to think about like, oh, okay, how can I communicate to this? I mean, it's obviously there's language barriers between myself and a puppy.
Maybe a little bit,
but I just am thinking about like, oh, how do you manage a ton of energy without in a loving, caring way? How do you teach? Something, how do you teach an animal something that's overrun with emotion? You know, Ralph's got like, you can tell when his primal instincts kick in, like he sees a squirrel, he'll just go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you could put a treat in front of his face and he doesn't even notice it because the chemicals or whatever, what do we call it? You call it lizard brain or do you use lizard brain to override?
No, lizard, that's a lizard brain. It's the stuff you're hardwired for survival.
And it's great. It's like, how do you deal with that? And I think about, you know, when I was a kid, I had lizard brain all the time.
Mm. Well, it's not surprising to me that you're one of your takeaways from this experience is that you're learning a lot about yourself, or you're learning a lot with Ralph here in your life. That's who you are, though. That's you look for those kinds of things.
True, true.
And maybe more so than a lot of people. Like maybe you're more contemplative.
Yeah. Well, I like
those
that.
Kinds of things. That's not a knock on you in any way.
You could say like it's a knock on me.
Not at all. Really?
No.
I didn't mean that at all. I just think that's the kind of person that you are. And so it's an interesting thing to me that you're at this place where you've significantly reduced the amount of therapy kinds of conversations that you have.
I think
one of the things you're learning is that therapists can be replaced by a good dog.
I mean, like... I don't know how I feel about that.
You'll have this, if when you guys have kids,
you'll
have the same experience with the kid.
Which side?
And you're going to have all these flashbacks like the one you had.
I can only imagine.
Yep. All kinds of those things.
It scares me. It's terrifying.
And if you approach it with humility and looking for what can I learn in this moment and what can I be taught, you'll do great.
I think what I've been struggling with the most is...
missing me.
Where's the... Okay, it's the green one. I'd forgotten it had been so long since I hit that button.
The first one was applause, which is really the one that we're going with.
What I have this... I think what's sort of emotionally jarring about this is like I find myself in a lot of situations where... I am, you know, I have my routine. There are things that I, Alex, want to get done. I have my own stresses. And then the dog will be like, dude, I don't care. I got my own things and I have to pay attention to the dog first.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to react when I'm frustrated and a thing is frustrating me more.
Mm.
I've been struggling quite candidly with my like anger. Mm-hmm. With Ralph, and I love Ralph tremendously. He has a way of triggering my lizard brain, and like, you know, we've talked about sort of anger and rage in the past. It has he gets the better of me. Like he makes me so mad. And I've told Haley this, like I literally just think about, and you know, obviously I haven't done this and I won't do this, knock on wood, but I just think about wringing his little neck. Like, why are you doing this? You know,
yeah.
I stop myself and I say, you know, clearly this is a puppy. He has no idea. But in my head,
your agenda
or I assume he's doing this to piss me off. He's trying to get the better of me. And quite candidly, I mean, I sort of grew up in an environment where that's how you treat children too. Like obedience is the most crucial thing. And if they're not obedient, it's, you know, because they're trying to get a rise out of you. It's a power struggle. You really got to come down hard. And I've been struggling with, like, Haley's been like, yo, you need to... I find myself being very like authoritative. Like there was this one time I came down here and he had taken something out of the trash and he thought we were playing regular puppy response and he was running from me. And I was like, dude, you know, Ralph, stop. You can't eat that. It's not good for you. But he was just running and running and I couldn't catch him. And I, instead of laughing at it, I got so pissed and I remember just snapping. And I shouted at him and I like, he ran by me and I lunged and I got just enough where I kind of shoved him off balance and he banged into the wall and he just stopped and he looked at me and his, he went straight down to the ground and I'll never forget. Like he was like, oh shit, I'm in trouble. And I just like felt, he wouldn't even look at me, you know? And I grabbed him and I said, no, like, stop. And I, you know, I sort of lost control. And I immediately regretted it.
Yeah.
I immediately thought back to my childhood of like a time where I broke something or I forgot something and I got yelled at, you know, I was met with rage and how jarring it was. And it made me feel very ashamed to know I was sort of repeating that pattern. But it's, I talked to George about it a little bit on our last, the last time we met, and I was like, I'm worried that this is never going to go away. And he was like, we kept talking about it, and I was like, well, maybe it won't go away, and it's just my job to know that sometimes that rage will show up and just to be like, hey, you know, you're there. Just because you're there doesn't mean I need to act on, I don't know, but it's just, it's been tough. It's been really tough for me, and I feel embarrassed and ashamed. And I feel so angry sometimes still.
Yeah. This is going to be a new experience. It's going to, that's going to come back to you. You're going to have multiple opportunities to be frustrated because I mean, one of the things you're talking about is the currency in my family was, you talked about obedience, but I think maybe even more than obedience, I would say just being quiet.
Like, yeah.
It's an adult's world and
not to distract.
Don't come into my world
unless
it's on my terms and unless the conditions are right.
Yeah.
And it seems to me like maybe there was some ambiguity, like some, like you had to figure out what that meant exactly as a kid.
Totally. Yes.
So like when you show up in adult spaces and you're being a kid, then you get smacked down for that.
Yeah.
Maybe figuratively and literally.
Yeah.
And and it's like you said, Ralph has no clue what your agenda is or what you got on your plate. And
I can't hear that voice sometimes, what you just said.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But it's just this overpowering, like, you've got to teach him a lesson now. How, like, he has, it's like he has crossed the line, you know? It's so personal.
Yeah.
And it's tough. I was trying to tell Haley, like, I don't have a lot of historical reference points to be like, okay, here's how you handle something that's developing. All I know is is being a kid and being expected to like be an adult, sort of, not to be a burden of any kind, be quiet when my parents are working, you know, not to have any confusion about stuff, not to have really any intense needs. Like they, you know, adjust to their schedule. And if you don't, the hammer gets dropped. So I don't know. That's all I know. And I'm like, I want to learn how to, you know, I see other people's behaviors. You know, my friend David, I've known him forever. I watched him with his dog and now with his daughter. Like, he's so patient. stuff that would drive me up the wall. I'd be like, you let them do that? And he was like, he'd always be like, you know, I just explain like, hey, this is why you can't do that. But, you know, they're a kid or they don't know any better. And that's so foreign. That concept's so foreign to me. And I'm like, you know.
Yeah. And then when it's your kid and their brain and their brain is developing till they're 24, 25, 26 years old.
Yeah.
Then you get to have, I mean, then you get to have these conversations with a newborn, a toddler, you know, a preteen, you know, like, and all the way up until there are young adults making their own decisions and telling you to F yourself, you know, like, I mean, so that's what life is. And if you're open to learning about, that's why I said the humility, if you're open to like, what can I learn about this? What can I learn about myself? What do I learn about kids? How do I approach this?
Yeah. I mean, I guess my biggest fear is that I will allow my anger to get the better of me and I'll scare, you know, like I scared my puppy and I wonder, does he hold on to that? You know, they say dogs can hold on to negative experiences. I don't know if that's true.
Who says that?
I read it online. So, you know, the internet says that.
Yeah, actually.
But I think about me as a child.
Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer, says the opposite of that.
Okay, so good.
They don't live in the past. They live in the moment.
Well,
what he
kids
says.
Do, you know, and I think of my
kids may.
I think of my childhood, and I think I have tons of memories of being petrified, you know, being worried, like, oh, I'm physically in, you know, like this is a big deal. I'm in trouble, and that scared, you know.
So you just said that your biggest fear was. Do you remember what you said? That you'll do something.
Yeah, that will cause my.
Yeah, like the condition you said with Ralph, that you kind of tapped him and he hit the.
Yeah, I mean, I was. Yeah. It was a SWAT.
Yeah, okay.
I was trying to basically knock him over.
Yep. And so, immediately when you said that, I thought, I don't think that's your biggest fear.
Okay.
I think your biggest fear is that you could become like your dad.
Yes, that's what I meant. Like, I'm afraid I'm going to act. I'm going to let my rage out.
The way he did.
Yes, and scare the shit out of my kid, you know, and just lose control.
Yeah, and pass that on to the next generation.
Yes, that has been probably a big part of my therapy from the onset. And one of the main reasons I went to therapy to begin was like, okay, I got to stop this cycle somehow.
Yeah. And now you've been to years and years of therapy.
And here, I mean,
and here you are
wild.
With a dog, and you're like,
back to square one.
Like, I have done nothing.
Yeah, it sucks too. I mean,
like I started this journey to avoid this,
and here I am.
And I've done squat.
I mean,
I'm.
I know
hyperbole here, right?
But I feel a little bit like that.
That's what I'm saying.
The great irony of life is like, okay, maybe it's just one of those things. I assumed I had something to fix, and you and I have talked about this a lot.
Yeah.
There's nothing to fix. It's just a question of like, okay, what's there? How do you interact with it? And that's what I worried about. I was like, shit, you know, maybe this rage feeling of, you know, once this boundary gets crossed, I gotta just unleash fury. Maybe that'll always be there.
Maybe.
And if it is, if it goes away, that's awesome. And I'm getting better at patience. I think Haley would agree that like, as I continue to work on it, I feel like I see progress. But man, like the dog has really brought it out of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am just like, kids are going to be way more, in need of patience. Like I'm going to.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm scared of becoming, you know, there wasn't a ton of patience was not a currency when I, you know, it was non-existent. Like
it was required of you. You had
correct,
to be patient.
Correct. Yeah.
So it was a virtue for kids, but not necessarily adults. So I think about conversations we've had in here before where we've talked about therapy, how much therapy is enough therapy, you know, how much is too much.
Yeah.
And like the example you just gave, like I have this friend, Dave. So the Alex that I know looks at Dave and goes, how do you do that? Like, how do you keep your shit together when there's chaos around or when this kid is throwing up on the floor or whatever, you know, whatever. And so to me, seeing that Dave can do it, seeing like, oh, there's another model out there. There's another model for how to be when everything is going wrong or when you're at high stress. So that's a goal, right? That's a place that you can shoot for. And then I think that's like, I think therapists could be put out of business if more people would look at Dave and say, how do you do that, Dave? Mm-hmm. And Dave's got stuff and blinders in his life where he could look at you and go, how do you stay so motivated? I don't know what Dave's issues are, but we get more and
his
more isolated.
Sucks at fantasy football.
Huh?
His issues are that he sucks at fantasy
that's
football.
That's what his special power is. Yeah. His special power is.
His blind spot is his superpower. Fantasy football team. Okay, sorry. Continue.
So anyway, you look at him and you get something from that, and you could, if you got vulnerable, if you opened up to him, you'd say, I stand in awe of what you do. I can't, like, I'm dealing with a dog. I haven't even got approved to work on humans yet.
Yeah,
you know? Like,
I know. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
And which also weighs on me.
So to me,
that communication of like, that, I mean, that's authentic, like being vulnerable. That's a therapeutic moment.
Therapeutic moment.
Totally.
Exactly. And it can be as small as just observing him, not even talking to him, but it's just observing, going, oh, wow, there's another way to do this.
Yeah.
I don't have to let my lack of patience get the best of me. I don't have to lash out. I don't have to lose it.
Yeah.
Emotional reactivity.
I don't.
Emotional regulation.
Having more of those models, I think, would be awesome. And just having one, it's just so like wild to see it in real life, you know?
Yeah.
You see a kid misbehaving and your immediate gut reaction is like, oh, they are misbehaving and like they need correction. When it's like, maybe, you know.
That's your first reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
It may not be everyone's, right?
Yes.
So like somebody else with a different set of life experiences and growing up experience, you know, might look at a kid who's, you know, I go, oh, they're probably having a bad time. Or the idea of correction is not even in the equation.
I know.
But that's the one that comes up for you because that's based probably more on what you know, what's familiar, even though it's not necessarily desirable to you.
And I don't want to be that kind of a caregiver, right?
Yeah.
It's so funny how the fear that the rationale that I've probably adopted just based on observing, you know, my environment, is that if you don't do this, the thing will become a brat or will become spoiled. And I remember talking to George and I was like, well, because I was like, how do you handle when your child is misbehaving? He's like, well, usually it's a sign that I just need to spend more time. They need more love. They need affection. They need to feel connected. I was like, well, if you give them more, aren't they going to become more needy? And he was like, that's a huge misconception.
Fallacy.
Yeah. And he said that. I was like, are you sure? Because every fiber in me is saying like, if you give something too much love or too much affection, it'll like weaponize it, or, you know, it'll turn it into, hey buddy, speak of the devil. See, this is a perfect example. I'm trying to podcast and the dog says, I'm not mad at all. He's so cute. Ralph, go away. Haley, can you get him? Ralph, come here. Come on. Want you a treat? Yeah, he wants a treat. What was I saying?
You're talking about if you give something too much love, they'll weaponize it.
Yeah. Like, I don't want, I'm so petrified of having a dog or a child that's spoiled. Mm. Which I know is wild that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, but that was like, that's the motivation. That's why you got to be strict or whatever.
That doesn't fit for me.
It doesn't fit for me either, but like,
I'm just saying that like what really hit with me was I don't want to become my dad. I don't want to treat me like the way my dad treated. I don't want to treat my kids the way my dad treated me. But
yes.
And I don't know. Did you get the vibe that you were spoiled or that he thought you were spoiled?
No, but
if
I would
he gave
be told,
you too much?
I would be told that like, you know, that was the thing. Don't ever act like a brat, like you're acting like a brat.
Mm.
You know, you're acting spoiled. I just have this feel. I just have this feeling of like, you know, when I'll talk to Haley, I'll be like, you spoil him. Like the reason he's like this is because you love him so much. Sometimes I say that.
Mm.
And then other times I'm like, man, I'm so happy that Ralph has such a loving and caring, you know, Dog mom. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm with George on this. I don't know that you can overlove. You can underlove, I think.
Totally.
I don't think you can overlove. You can spoil. You can give kids things they probably don't benefit from. Too much, you know, a phone too early, bedtime too late, or, you know, like not correcting them in a moment when they need some boundaries, or they need to be reined in a little bit because of circumstance or safety or
boundaries with love, like boundaries in a loving way.
Yeah.
That to me was like, that's a foreign concept. I think it sounds great. It's an aspirational target for me.
Yeah.
And it's something, you know, the concept of you saying, yeah, I don't think it's possible to love a child too much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yes, I agree. Also, my brain's like, really? And that's weird to feel that. It's weird to...
Well, think about what it would look like. Like when you operationalize that, when you put that, like how does that look to over-love somebody? My guess is any example you give me, I'll probably point out that it's about boundaries it's not about love. Like,
yep.
How much I just want for that person, how much good I want, how much care I have for.
Yeah. It's usually just about like, it's not a question of love at all. It's just a question of boundaries. Hey, like I love you and you've had
enough
this,
popcorn.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yes.
I want you to have everything that you want except the things that are not good for you. Yeah. And right now.
Yeah. I love you and you need to go to sleep.
Yeah. You need to go to bed and maybe you shouldn't be vaping at 8 years old.
Yes.
You know, like,
yep. Yeah.
But that's not a commentary on, in fact, it's a commentary on your love. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to allow you to vape when you're young. You can, mm-hmm. you know.
So, yeah, this puppy has kicked up a lot of parental sort of thoughts and things and
dogma.
I'm not going to hit the button for that. That's okay. I'm going to let that one slide. But the anger thing I had been struggling with, and even Haley was like, man, you get really crabby. The dog has a way of making me quite angry, but it's a good exercise in patience. And yeah, it's hard to set a boundary with something that doesn't speak English. But
well, that'll be your child.
Yeah, yeah, true. Very true. Yeah, so also I got married, as you know, not to totally change gears, but I'm just trying to tick off
mm-hmm.
updates.
Yeah.
That all went really well.
Good.
No issues there. We went on our honeymoon. That was great. The therapy thing I mentioned, I did want to talk about how challenging that gestalt work was. And I kind of am basically, she emailed me. She's like, hey, are you going to come in again? And I was like, I don't even think I've replied, which is fascinating for me because
she's going to find out through this.
Yeah. She told me she listened to at least one episode.
Uh-huh.
But it was just a little trippy for me to talk about on this podcast again, like, hey, just show up. You know, we talked about
the modal number of
therapy sessions is one. And I was like, why? It doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
And then here I am, you know, we made it probably 6 sessions or 7 sessions.
With the EMDR?
Yeah, maybe more.
Okay. Than that, I think, I don't know. And I'm not even tracking it.
Yeah. But I was like, I tapped out. I mean, I'll say it. I tapped out. I don't feel like guilty about that, but
yeah,
it's kind of interesting for me. Being such a strong advocate of therapy to be like, okay. But I felt okay. I felt up and down and
yeah. And maybe
as humans feel,
maybe you had a season of your life where you needed all that you were getting
mm-hmm.
and you transitioned to another season in your life where you don't need as much as you were getting.
Yeah. Well, and again, as I continue to develop, you know, meaningful relationships in my life, like my wife, for example,
mm-hmm.
and now a puppy, and you know, we hope to have children. We've been talking about that. Yeah, I'm excited about all that. Also scared, the stresses and whatnot. But
mm-hmm.
some people tell me a few have been like, yeah, my puppy is way harder than my kid. Which I'm like, oh, I mean, I guess I can see the thing, like a baby, a newborn, like can't run around and bite stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They just cry a lot.
Usually.
Yeah. So I can see that, but I cannot imagine. I think what I'm most terrified of is like a 6 to 8 year old. Like that would be just peak frustrated, just enough cognizance to like, you know, undermine you, instill a ton of energy. Yeah. Yep. So that's the Ralph update. What's new on your end, man?
Well, what in our most recent conversations, I mean, we haven't met a lot lately, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so what do you think about these meetings? I mean, if we were not doing a podcast and I was meeting with you, I'd be like, so are you wanting to meet again? Are you wanting to do this on a regular basis?
Yeah.
Or is this a check-in? And which to me can be totally fine. You have a check-in and maybe we don't see each other for another 2 months and then we have another check-in.
Well, that's what's always interesting about this dynamic, this being a podcast.
Yeah.
So I think about it from both angles. And Haley was like, there was a time where I was a little agitated and Haley was like, I quote, I think you need a Dr. Steve session. That's what she said. So like, obviously I enjoy having these check-ins and I was thinking, it was like, well, do we get the podcast rolling again? You know, I had a friend who called me. His name's also Dave. We'll call him David. No, we'll just call him Dave. And he was like, hey, when's the next episode coming? Mm. And I told him, and he was doing the math. He's like, oh, so it's going to be a couple of weeks. You know, he's like, when are you going to start doing more? Blah, blah, blah. And my brain's like, well, yeah, do I get it up and running again? But Alex is like, I don't know what we would talk about. I mean, I feel I have stress. Right. But the stress that I feel, I'm not particularly concerned about. Like, I don't seek deeper terror from that. You know, I'm not like it's indicative of me being a bad person or that there is something wrong. Rather, the stress is pretty natural. A lot of that is tied into, you know, starting a business. That's a stressful endeavor.
No doubt. No doubt.
So that's all normal. So, yeah,
I think a turning point, like if somebody were to ask me about all our experiences, like when people talk to me about the podcast, I say start around the fourth episode or so.
Yeah.
Because I think we were trying to figure out what this is about, how's it going to look. And then I think a turning point when you went to 4 therapy sessions in 1 week.
Yeah.
And I think.
Dude, that totally affected me. Totally. Yeah.
I think you got to a place where you're like, maybe this is too much. I don't need this as much as I did need it. And maybe you needed to have a 4 week session or a 4 session week in order to say, I don't think my needs are as great as they used to be. It doesn't take away anything from any of the work that you've done before. In fact, it may be a testament to the good work that you did all that time beforehand that you're now at a place where you're like, maybe I'm learning lessons other places. I'm learning from my puppy. I'm learning from Dave. I'm learning from Haley. And to me, therapeutic moments, right?
Yes.
And I've always thought, I'm going to interrupt again, but and I've always thought that the danger with the podcast is you get so focused on doing a podcast on a really unique topic and a real brave, courageous thing to do to expose yourself. And I know there's limitations with that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want the podcast so badly, I think it diminishes this process.
Yes. That's not the catch 22.
Yeah.
Maybe the nuance. Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
I think so.
It can't be entertainment or it can't be content because then it's no longer therapy.
Right. And I think we started, and I think you were more focused on content.
And putting on
a good show.
Admittedly, too, I was more anxious.
Yeah.
And I think there have been three sort of key points for me in my journey with this podcast. The first, those 4 sessions, going to 4 different therapists at the same time and realizing that perspective was super mind-blowing for me just to be like, oh, they're so different and they approach things differently based on their personality. And like, I always thought therapy was far more objective than subjective. And seeing four, I was like, oh man, like, honestly, my takeaway was like, they don't have it figured out. Like, I always assumed you guys had it figured out, but I remember, you know, meeting some and being like, yeah, no, I'm good. Like, I feel a lot better about myself in a weird way. But so having that perspective was helpful. Also, the work we did on mastery versus acceptance was very helpful. Mm-hmm. And then finally, the EMDR was very helpful. Mm-hmm. Revisiting elements of my childhood with an adult responsible brain. I think taking the time to walk through stuff and be like, okay, I always was sort of obsessing about this and borderline paranoid about what had happened and assuming all of these big, dramatic, meaningful things when the reality was quite simple and not something that I caused or did. It's nobody's fault. It just was. And I experienced it and I did my best as a child to cope with it. And, you know, that's sad, but it's not reflective of anything being wrong with me or anything like that. That was a huge, so those three things got me to a place where I was like, oh, I feel pretty good about where I'm at. And that doesn't mean I'm happy all the time. Like, I remember joking, I was thinking to myself, I was going to open this episode with you being like, you were going to say, oh, Alex, how are you doing? And I was going to say, I'm depressed. And you're going to be like, oh, tell me why. And then I would have just gone into all the things that are stressing me out. But they're normal, you know, they're, say it's work. It's, I worry that I'm a failure. I wonder if I'm going to be provide for my family. Like, it's stuff, it's part of a journey.
Yeah.
It's not that, like, oh, you shouldn't be thinking that. Or like, ooh, yeah, we should prescribe something. That's not good. It's just, life can be tough, especially when you're on a unique journey. So, yeah.
And if one of the goals for this, for the podcast, was to show a viewer or a listener kind of an actual experience, to me, the last 4 months that we have known each other have been right on track with what I do with my own clients in my own practice. There may be a month or two goes by and then people call and they'll be like, hey, I need to come back in.
Yeah.
And we pick up where we left off. They give me an update. I talk to them. I bring up things from former conversations and I'm like, hey, do we need to meet again?
Yeah.
No. Let's let it ride. Let's not put anything on the calendar. And then there's a call or there's an email or there's a text and someone says, I think I want to come back in. There's something else. And then maybe we're meeting weekly for a period of 3-4 weeks or 5 weeks, whatever. And then maybe we don't see each other for another 6 months. And then so like your family doctor, you know?
Yeah.
I don't need my family doctor all the time. But when there's something I want to take care of or have that person look at, then I do that.
And I remember when you first said that, I did not like that. I was like, that's not true for me. Yep. I was like, I like to come in frequently. I like to talk about whatever's on my mind, analyze it. It's helpful. And I'm not going to say that I still don't. I mean, I still like being Bissatuti and talking about what's on my mind. However, I now appreciate that that's not indicative of anything like being wrong. Or like, that's not indicative of, I've always had this lingering feeling of there needing to be something to fix.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, begun to let go of that. And that's a huge development. It feels good to be able to let go. Also, there's part of me that's like, maybe I'm just caring less, you know? Maybe my brain is just, it's my brain's slowly dying and it's like, hey, we've gone over all the brain cell allocation. We're going to just send less energy to this.
Neurotic
part. Yeah. We're cutting this one off.
The anxiety part.
We've been looking at the deliverables. The numbers aren't great. The quarterly earnings are down. We're going to cut you off. But I think this is a good place to wrap up.
Yeah.
And, it's also, this is the Thanksgiving episode. I forgot to mention that. It's Thanksgiving. Or it was Thanksgiving, because it'll be Friday. Is there anything that you're particularly thankful about or thankful for? Do you celebrate Thanksgiving? Are you a Thanksgiving guy?
Sure.
Okay. Is there anything you're thankful
for? I think you can never go wrong with gratitude.
Yeah. That's a boring answer. I'll give a cooler one to all our listeners.
Please do.
I'm thankful for my puppy Ralph and for giving me the opportunity to learn more about myself and how I can be a better caregiver. And I'm thankful for my wife, formerly my fiance, formerly my girlfriend, for being a great partner on this journey. And even we've had some tussles about the dog, but every time we've tussled, every time we've like fought, it's been resolved pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's usually communication afterward. Hey, here's what I was feeling. Here's why I said this. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's been great. Knock on wood.
Cool.
Okay. What are you thankful for, listener? Send an email to ProfessorSteve@theUniversityofMinnesota.edu.
Or not.
And remember that life is full of ups and downs. You can't package it up in a pretty little box.
You're trying to. You're trying real hard to. Be good to yourself.
So just...
be kind.
Be kind.
Rewind.
Don't...
I'm going to hit the button.
Okay. All right. See you guys. Bye.